It is good to see folks coming in from out of town. Great to see folks coming in from College Station, Arizona. So glad you're with us, worshiping with us this morning. And it's a great holiday season. And want to know what... Oh, we got even some from Austin. Sorry, got to give equal time. Austin and College Station both here. Yep, my own... What has been the most memorable gift you have ever given? A couple weeks ago, during this holiday season, someone gave a unique holiday gift. Now, the gift was a proposal. However, the man set the stage for the proposal as an armed robbery, a pretend armed robbery, and at a convenience store in Boston. And so he had it set up with the store manager and someone who pretended to be a burglar, robber. They robbed the store and went outside. And then when he came back in, he told the girlfriend, you know, someone just robbed me. And then he comes back in and she says, really, really? And so they go back to the back of the convenience store and she's cowering, she's hovering down, and he comes over and he's just saying, hey, you know, ask them a bunch of questions. Are you married? Do you have children? And he starts to say, hey, I don't see a ring on your finger. You know, and she said, no, 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 no. You know, her boyfriend's right there. And so, let's see. Well, so anyways, so she's there and she's, and then the guy, he has a fake gun and he pulls it out, but he gives his ring to the boyfriend and the girlfriend's there. Carrie says, no. And then the boyfriend puts the ring on her finger and says, will you marry me? And she goes, no, 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 no. Well, I don't know if she was saying that, but she goes, are you serious? And she says, yes. And then after a little while, about a minute or two later, after some of the euphoria and shock all wears off, she relays back to him, I'm going to kill you. You know, I think she's speaking metaphorically. And, you know, now Will, don't go trying that on your proposal, okay? It's good to have Will. I can pick on him here. I haven't been able to do that for 3 months or so. But, you know, we've been talking about how we don't want to do the same old, and, marriage proposals, guys, that is a time to not do the same old, by the way. You want to make it unique. You want to make it special. And while I don't recommend setting up a pretend armed robbery, do be creative and think of something special. And that's what we want to do with Christmas as well. We don't want to get into the same predictability, the same pattern of what we want to do. And, you know, Christmas, it is a happiest time of the year, but in actuality, it's also some of the saddest times of the year for many. Oftentimes at Christmas, if you're like me, you think of your mom, who for me just passed away last Thanksgiving, or you think of your uncle, or you think of grandma or grandpa, and they're not at that Christmas dinner. The seat is empty, and sometimes it brings back that memory of sadness, that things are not the same. It just doesn't seem quite right. For some people, they have problems, struggles, estrangement within their families. And so while everyone looks like they're having a good time spending time with friends and family, they may not even be spending time with their families. They may be spending it by themselves or with a few friends. And so Christmas can be a time of loneliness. Maybe some of you have experienced a time where you were kind of by yourself for a Christmas. And so we want to approach this season freshly in a unique and a meaningful way. And last week, we talked about primarily having that be special, fresh, meaningful for us personally. But this morning, we're going into episode 2 of our trilogy on the rise of Jesus. And this morning, we want to focus on how can we not only bring holiday cheer to ourselves, but how can we bring some holiday cheer to others as well. And so we're going to continue on our prologue in the book of John. We'll be looking at verses 6 through 13. Our message title for episode 2 is The World Strikes Back. The World Strikes Back. So turn with me to John chapter 1, verses 6 to 13. And John starts off, he tells us, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. John, the author, is going to set up a foil for us, a narrative contrast. And the main character in our prologue is the Word. And lastly, we have known him as the Light. But he's going to contrast that with our foil. And he tells us that in verse 6, there was a man. Now, just to be clear that there is this contrast, John, this person, this second character, is a man. He is not the Word who was God, who was the Creator, who was life, who was light. So keep that contrast here. This is a man. But he's not just an ordinary man. He's a man sent from God. That word there is an apostle, apostello. He's a man on a mission. He's a missionary. And we're going to find out what his mission is in a little bit. And lastly, this second character who is second, who is not God, who is a man, we get his name. His name is John. We know that this is John the Baptist. John, the author of this book, never uses the Baptist in his whole book because John is such a humble guy, always kind of referring to himself humbly, you know, the disciple whom John loved. But we know this is John from the other Gospels, John the Baptist. But it's interesting, we get his name. And the main character of our prologue, we don't hear his name. He's the Word, the Light. It's almost as if we're trying to heighten the anticipation. It's as if we have this, we're hiding the name of this main character behind some kind of Mandalorian mask. You know what I'm saying? And he's behind this mask. And what do we want to do when we see that mask? We want to take off the mask. So it's almost like we're heightening because we don't mention his name all the way until verse 17. But this is setting the stage for what we're trying to do. And then in verse 7, he tells us the mission. He came. That's an important verb, came. He came as a witness. A witness, a martyrio. He's a testifier. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light. And so John introduces for us his first witness. You see, we're going to have a trial here. We're trying to impeach the word. We're trying to impeach the light. And in order to do so, we have to line up all our witnesses. It don't matter if they heard the conversation or if they are doing hearsay testimony. We're going to line up the witnesses. And witness number one is John. And what are we trying to impeach? We're trying to impeach, is this word who he says he really is? Can he truly offer eternal life? Is he truly the light? Is he truly the creator? Is he truly God? We got to line up the witnesses. And later on, we're going to have several other people come and give some depositions, give some witness testimony. We're going to have the Spirit. We're going to have the Father. We're going to have the works. We're going to have the Samaritan woman. We're going to have the words of the word. But here's witness number one. And what's his purpose? Verse 7. That all. Don't miss that. That all might believe through him. The heart of God is that all might believe. Will all believe? We'll find out later the answer to that. But the heart of God is that all might believe. And here's that very important verb, all might believe. This word is mentioned 98 times in the book of John. Every time it's a verb. Every time, there's no noun form of this. Does that tell us a little bit something about what we're supposed to do with our belief? It's always a verb. And all might believe through him. Now, he was the light, verse 8. He was the light. He was not the light. Sorry, these panels in the back, they kind of mess up how I can read something. Or another, by the way. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. So the word is the light, and we are to believe that this light can truly deliver us from the darkness. That's what we're to believe, that this light, this word, this creator, this God can deliver us from all past, present, and future darkness. And so, friends, as we approach this Christmas season in anticipation, last week we learned we can do so in a fresh way as we elevate Jesus as God, because he is God, because he's the creator, because he is life, because he is light. And today we're going to pick up on that last metaphor. How can we approach Jesus, Christmas season, this season, in a fresh way that will bring hope to ourselves and to others? We need to first believe in the light. Believe in the light and bear witness of the light. And so that's our primary metaphor for today, is the light. We want to ourselves believe that this is the light that can deliver us from all our past sins, the penalty, all our present darkness, the power, and all our for all of the future, one day from the present, that this light can deliver us from the darkness. We need to believe that on ourselves first. But after we have believed it ourselves, we want to be that witness. We want to bear witness of the light to others. And so, again, if you are in here this morning and you have not yet trusted in Jesus as the one who can deliver you from all past, present, and future darkness, I want to encourage you to believe upon him today. But if you have trusted in Christ, then bear witness of that light to others. When I was a sophomore in college, I would go and visit my grandfather almost every week for several weeks at a time, for months at a time. He was in his late 70s, and he operated a grocery store about 10 minutes from my campus. So Friday afternoon, had some free time, and I would go, and I would try to be a light to my gunggung, right? And so I was 20 years old at the time, and I would go, and I'd say, okay, gunggung, if you were to die tonight and stand before God in heaven, and he says, why should I let you into heaven? Gunggung, what would you tell God? And so he would give me some answer, and then I'd share the message of the light with my gunggung. Now, later on, my mom told me, you know, gunggung, he doesn't really like you coming by every week and saying, gunggung, if you're going to die tonight, okay? I was 20 years old. You know, I wasn't polished in my messaging, so to speak. But so I modified a little bit, but I kind of kept trying to share the light with my gunggung. And so, friends, in this Christmas season, maximize the opportunity to bring hope, to bring holiday cheer to others by bearing witness of the light. And definitely do it by word, but also let us do it by our deeds. What does it say in John 13, 34 to 35 in this very book? All men will know that you are my disciples by what? By your love for one another. And I am so encouraged by the body of Christ here at KCC. I see you guys really love each other. You know, I mean, you have group time and circle time, and you love one another, and keep that up. And this last week, our dear sister Atkam, you know, she said I could share this. She's shared a little bit on Facebook, and she's sitting right here in the back. She stepped on a drill this last week, you know, and the drill bit got embedded in her foot, and she's walking around on crutches right now. Her foot's all wrapped up. She had to have emergency surgery at 6 p.m. on Wednesday to get that drill bit out of her foot. And she said, hey, look, people were responding in love. They were buying her groceries. They were driving her to the doctor. They were watching her kids. And she said, but hey, Cornerstone Group, I could use a little help for meals. Debbie's taking care of it on Friday, but I could use some help on Sunday and Tuesday and Thursday. And man, just right away on that email thread, you know, Jeannie says, I got you on Tuesday. And then Sonia says, you know, let me cover Wednesday. I'll get some rest. And then Catherine chimes in and she says, let me bring you a meal on Saturday. And she Hakim says, no, well, you know, Jamie and Debbie, they're going to drive me to the Cornerstone party. So I don't need a meal on Saturday. And then Catherine says, well, okay, well, then how about I'll come bring you on a Monday. And Hakim says, well, you know, Vicky already texted me, says she's going to bring me a meal on Monday. And then so Catherine, all she could volunteer is to drive. I'd come home from church today, you know. And she found out Li Ping is bringing her, lunch on Thursday. I mean, just the love of the body of Christ can be our witness. I you know, it touches my heart when I see email threads like that. And keep that up. How can we bring a holiday cheer to others around us? Believe and bear witness of the light. And I want to encourage us as focus groups, as missional community groups, as the church, that you will pray this Christmas on how you can share Jesus with others, to take advantage of that opportunity. And would you also pray that we as a church would ask God, how can we reach out and be lights to our community? Can we start some evangelism groups at our campuses? Should we reach out to Katy Asia Town? You know, I mean, they got some pretty good boba tea, you know. Maybe if we share the gospel with them, you know, maybe there's some other benefits and blessings. U of H, Katy, our own communities here, are there people from other religious backgrounds that God is asking us to start having light outreach witness to? Would you pray about that as well? Let's all experience the rise of Jesus for our own lives. Let him be that star, that light in the darkness for ourselves and for others in this Christmas season. Live the saga. In verse 9, he tells us, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. There's that word again, coming in. But we're focusing on the true light. And true, not in the sense of true or false, but true in the sense of genuine, the real McCoy. You know, this is not a knockoff light. I mean, to get the knockoff, you can go to Asia. I mean, you can get all kinds of knockoffs. You can get knockoff Gucci, knockoff Rolex, you know, knockoff American Girl doll. No. We're not talking about the knockoff here. And that's the sense of the truth. We're talking about the true light. He is the true light. And it gives light, again, to everyone. Don't miss that again. God's heart is the light to everyone. And he's giving light in the sense of he's illuminating the light into our own lives, showing us who the Word is, that the Word can deliver us from darkness. But he's also illuminating the light to all men. And we're going to see this in the following verses. He's kind of revealing who are the sheep and who are the goats by shining the light on them. We'll be able to see who are the sheep and who are the goats. So I think that's the sense of a dual sense of illuminating in our own hearts who is this creator, but also shining upon all men, differentiating the sheep from the goats. And he's coming into the world, and he was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. Now, this world, we're having a lot of vocabulary today, okay? I know you guys are going to have your files. You got to learn a lot of vocabulary. Well, we're having a lot of vocabulary this morning. But this world is the word cosmos. And as we use the word cosmos in the Bible, it often has a negative connotation. It's do not love the world or the things of this world. And so Jesus, he came into this world, the world which he created, his own, and yet the world did not recognize him, or it did not affirm that he was who he says he was, that he was God, he was the creator, he was the giver of eternal life, he was the light. The world did not affirm that, did not recognize that, did not enter into the personal relationship with him. But to add insult to injury, verse 11 tells us that he came to his own. His His own people, his own hometown, his own hood. And his own did not receive him. This could be the whole world because he created the whole world, but most likely it's talking about the Jewish people, the Jewish nations that they rejected him. Possibly even talking about his own family. His own did not receive him. And so friends, as we approach this Christmas season, how can we do so in a way that brings holiday cheer not only to our own lives, but to other people's lives? We want to believe and bear witness of the light, but be prepared that some will reject the light. Some will reject the light. They're going to put up a shield and they're not going to want to have anything to do with the light. And doesn't it tell us that in John 3:19-20, that the light has come into the world? The people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. And those who do wicked things hates the light, doesn't want to come into the light, lest his works be exposed. And so this is going to be the hardest doctrine of Jesus for us to accept, for you to accept, that some will reject the light and live in an eternity of darkness because they've rejected the light. And this hits home. This hits home for us most personally too. And just this last week, we met with one of our church-supported missionaries, cross-cultural workers, Nancy. And Nancy, you know, she was asked to leave her previous country of service. She was, more than asked to leave. She was demanded to leave. But she wants to keep going into the darkness. She wants to go to other countries. She is considering different Muslim areas that she wants to go back. Now, what kind of response is Nancy going to have as she goes and tries to be that light? Not everyone is going to receive the message. Not everyone is going to believe. And yet, you know, Nancy, she's a doctor. She doesn't have to go. But she understands, and she's prepared that others will reject the light. And yet she still wants to go. Following up into verse 12. But, and thank God for buts. Thank God for this conjunction, this adversative, because we need a little hope. Because, you know, when people reject the light, that can be the hardest, especially if it's our own, right? I'm just talking with Brother Boone the other day, and he's been praying for his mom for over 20 years. He's been sharing the light, but she's hasn't yet received the light. She's still rejecting it. And, you know, we on the pastoral staff, we get a lot of calls. People, we hear the heartbreaks. We hear the heartbreaks when the child or the brother or the sister says, "Yeah, I'm lesbian." We hear the heartbreaks when the parent tells us, "Yeah, my child, she's not walking in the light. She's not going to church." I just got a phone call a couple weeks ago. Someone from out of the state saying, "Pastor, will you pray for me? My son, he's on drugs. He's 40 years old. He's on alcohol. He has some mental problems." We hear those heartbreaks, And we need to be prepared that not all will want the light, will receive the light. And yet we keep praying. We keep sending those text messages. We keep making those phone calls. And thank God for verse 12 and 13 and for but to all who did receive him, who believed, there's that word again, in his name. And when we're saying believing in his name, we're saying believing everything about the person, that he truly can deliver us from past, present, and future darkness. He gave the right to become children of God. He gave the right to become children of God. And, you know, a lot of you guys, you were given rights by your parents to become children of the United States of America. I mean, they kind of planned it out. They knew that if you were born here in America, just like my parents knew, that you would have rights to get a good KDISD education. You could go on to a nice university. You could go on, get a nice job, and live out the American dream because you were given the right to be a child of the United States of America. Well, friends, verse 12 tells us that for those who receive and believe the light, he gives the right to become a child of God with all the rights, duties, and privileges therein. And just to make sure that this is not through some human manipulation, through some human engineering, human planning, verse 13 tells us that who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You know, my children, most of my children weren't born in America. They were born in Asia. And yet, because they're connected to me through blood, they still get the full rights of being a child of America. But it don't work that way with the kingdom of God, right? You can't rely on your parents' blood, ethnicity, to become a child of God. And you can't rely on the sexual planning of mom and dad or an engineering or manipulation or human effort to become a child of God. This is a God thing. And so friends, as we approach this Christmas, let's believe and bear witness of the light. But be prepared that some people, they're going to reject the light. But don't get discouraged. Be encouraged that many, many will receive the light. And we do praise God that my brother Boone, he just got back from Malaysia this week. And he has 10 brothers and sisters. Is that right, Brother Boone? 10? Okay. And Boone is the only Christian in his family. But just this last week, he shared the gospel with his sister, who's 72 years old, has lung cancer. And praise the Lord, she's the first one in his family to have received the light. So we need to pray for good follow-up for Boone's sister. Be encouraged that many will receive the light. Friends, this Christmas, live the saga. Experience the rise of Jesus. How can we do so for our own selves and for others? Believe in and bear witness of the light. Be prepared that some are going to reject the light, but be encouraged that many will receive the light. You know, I have one of the best uncles that anyone could ever ask for, my Uncle Bing. Uncle Bing, he took me to see the Astros mini season tickets when I was 12 years old, and we saw the Astros go to the playoffs the first time. And I remember being in the Astrodome. My Uncle Bing was the one who took me. He taught me to play backgammon. He taught me to play cribbage. He taught me to play pinochle. I had the greatest uncle that anyone could ever ask for. But, you know, my Uncle Bing and I, we had our conflicts, and it often revolved around spiritual things. I mean, I remember when I was in elementary school and we had to dress up for Easter, and I went to Uncle Bing's house before I went to church. Uncle Bing didn't go to church, and I was just wearing normal clothes, you know, I think just a normal shirt. But my cousin Stu, he comes out and he's wearing a tie for Easter. And my Uncle Bing kind of criticizes me. He says, "Hey, well, what's wrong with you? You're not dressing up, you know?" And the soft heart that I have, and maybe I've passed that on to some of my children. And I'm crying, I'm bawling. I don't remember what grade I was in, second grade, third grade. I can't control it. And, you know, poor Uncle Bing, he's, you know, oh gosh. And then I think Aunt May Jean, she harps to criticize his Uncle Bing. "Oh, what are you doing, you know, criticizing that guy like that, you know?" And my cousin Stu, you know, nice cousin Stu, he feels so bad for me. He goes back to his room. He kind of takes off his tie, puts on a normal shirt so he don't make me feel so bad that I'm not so dressed up. But Uncle Bing and I, we kind of had this conflict with, you know, when it came to spiritual things. I remember when I graduated from Rice, and then I was talking to him one day, and I was sharing the gospel with him, and I said, "Uncle Bing, yeah, we can talk about this again." And Uncle Bing says, "Nope, never again, never again." Well, fast forward about four or five years later, I graduate from Dallas Seminary, and I get invited to preach an evening series at Chinese Baptist Church, a series of four messages. And then my Aunt Viola, she kind of sees Uncle Bing, and she says, "Hey, Uncle Bing, aren't you going to go and support your nephew?" And so sure enough, Uncle Bing, he comes in, and he sits on the back row of those new song worship services, and he's listening to his niece, nephew. And I called myself Reverend Die Die. He loved that. I said, "Yeah, Uncle Bing, come listen to Reverend Die Die." You know, he said he loved that. And then fast forward to 4 years ago, it's Thanksgiving, and Uncle Bing is starting to have a little dementia. But that evening, during the football game on Thanksgiving evening, when Uncle Bing is 89 years old, I shared the message of the light with Uncle Bing. And that evening, he received the light. He received the Lord Jesus at the age of 89 years old. And 2 years later, he went to live in everlasting presence of the light. So friends, this Christmas, believe, bear witness of the light. Be prepared that some will reject, but be encouraged that many will receive. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this time. Help us, Lord, in this season to pray about how we can share the message of Christmas, and as individuals, but also as we look into the new year. Help us, Lord. What are the fields that you are having us to bring the light to? Give us your vision. We pray in Jesus' name.